Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more. More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, hey everybody. We are ready to rock and roll. This is Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio. Hello, ladies. Hello, Riley. Hello, Amy. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
I'm more concerned about how you are, Scott.
I'm not well. I am not well. I watched this episode. I watched Cinnamon. That's not funny. It's serious. I know it's amusing to you, but this is serious business.
All I could think about was like how pissed you are getting with the arm and the rubbing and the like holding. I was like, he is losing his bleep right now.
This is episode 5, Cinnamon's Wake, air date November 2nd, 2000. When both a distant family member and neighbor's cat die, Lorelai has to decide which wake to attend. Max and Lorelai get their feelings for each other out on the table, but what will Rory think of this?
So listen, we're gonna talk about Cinnamon's Wake, which was a delightful affair. It really was. It had many, many, many great lines. I mean, this was a superstar episode for sure. It highlighted the skills of so many people. A little bit, including myself. I got a little bit more into the episode. I actually had one of those funny physical comedy scene with Melissa McCarthy where we get stuck in the doorway. I mean, it was just, I really enjoyed that.
There's a little tension between the two of
There's
you,
some tension.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But I got to tell you, and I don't want to make this a regular thing here, but, you know, the Luke rants are turning into Scott rants. And I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing, but Jesus, listen, I am nothing if I am not honest. And it's bugging me. He's touching her. He's touching the elbow. He's like showing up there. You know, Suki is setting up. she lights the table on fire. Lauren puts it out with some lemonade, and it's a hysterically funny thing. Here, I'll actually drink one. I'll buy one and drink one. All good stuff. And then, you know, we're having a rollicking good time on the comedy train. And then all of a sudden, here's Mac Medina just drops in on a parachute. Boom. Hey, how you doing? All right. I was like, over here. And there he is, worming his way in again. Good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You know, I'm fired up, man. I can't take it.
It was like,
he just appeared. It's like he came out of the bush. He's been watching. He's been stalking, and there he is. And
Lorelai, Mr. Medina. Lorelai,
right,
Mr. Medina.
Right,
this
right.
is Mr. Medina.
Right.
Mac.
Right. Oh.
Although she tapped him with that fire starter thing. She like flirtily tapped him on the chest.
He did. Oh, she did. Right. Yeah, she but the did. Thing is he asked her to come. You know, can you come with me for, I mean, he removed her. The entire theme here is about manipulation. He's manipulating her. Okay. This is pure and utter manipulation of another human being in an inappropriate setting. I'm sorry. He's wearing her down because she's really resisting and she's saying all the right things. And I was so relieved watching Lorelai's character this episode because she's really defending the whole time. And she doesn't, I'll get to how she got broken down, but he's a master manipulator. Mac Medina is a master manipulator.
He likes her. He just likes her and he knows she feels it too.
He knows it's inappropriate. I told you before. You didn't listen to me. A man makes a choice and he chose to be a manipulator.
They do address it twice. They do have that conversation.
Oh, yes. This entire episode is designed to give Lorelai the impetus to go into this dating thing with him. Mm-hmm. Almost every scene is designed, even, and we'll get into this, but even the scene where I pop at Suki, that's a scene that fuels her to go running into his arms because... I mean, I kind of go wacko on Suki. I mean, it's a little over the top, don't you think? I mean, I get really angry at her.
She does. Yes. But that was amazing. She does bring up that.
Which I was directed to do.
There must be a rule against this. And right. He says there's nothing in the handbook. And she says, well, I think it's an unwritten rule.
Absolutely. But the thing, and especially the Babette scene, when Babette is emptying the pills into the box and saying, and this isn't structured in any way, and I'm sorry, but I'm just so fired up. I'm jumping around. When Babette is putting the pills in, they have that scene in the kitchen at the wake, right? And Babette says one key line that further fuels Lorelai into the Max's arms. It's, yeah, you just never know, you know, what's going to happen, and then your baby's gone, and what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And then Lauren had that moment like, oh, wow. Because, you know, Rory's going away. She's going to go away in a couple of years. And what's she going to have? So it becomes about her. But her personal journey.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot to it because, yes, from a distance, I understand why you're a little bit put off by it.
A little bit? He's grabbing her elbow. He said, come on over here. I mean, this is right in the... When they're doing the fundraiser, the bake sale, private school, $50,000, $70,000 in real money because of all the money they hit you up for once you pay the $50,000. I know
Did
this.
Did you just lose your mind during the coffee shop scene?
He grabs her elbow again. Come this way with me. Like he's like,
I know.
And then when she hits him with the heater and then they get into the thing. I want to date you. I want to think we should date. I want to date you. And then it's like, and she's defending. I'm like, you go, girl. That a girl. Get him off you. You know, put out the fire.
How were you feeling during the coffee shop scene when he slides over?
Yeah.
Well, arm rubbing.
No, it's he took his left thumb and he rubbed
there is motion.
Left arm above the elbow and he did it twice.
And he held on.
He did it three times that we saw from his point of view, that angle of the shot. I analyzed this last night. And she noticed it the first time. Do you know how she noticed it the first time? She felt it and she looked out. She didn't look at him and she didn't look away. She just sort of looked up and there was a little bit of a smile on her face. Like, boy, this guy's ballsy.
Yeah. Yes.
She liked being touched. It surprised her. She liked it. And then he started telling her the story. He started telling her the story about his, you know,
the uncle
and the girl that he, you know, the whole lie of a story, the BS. And then he did it again. He started rubbing with the thumb. Okay. And she looked down. That's when the second time she looked down.
It's going to be okay.
And it's like, wow, this guy's really like, full court press here. And she smiled and it was like game on.
Yeah.
That's the master manipulator. That is Max Medina. No, he made it physical. And again,
he's got game. He's not a manipulator. He's got game and he knows she's into it, but she just needs this extra little push. I mean, if Luke would have been at the counter when Lorelai and Suki are talking about her getting, you know, you would have lost your mind.
But I did. I did lose my mind and I lost it indirectly at Suki. And I did say to them, I don't know how you guys ever get any work done. Now, he can hear. That's his place. He hears. He knows what's going on. He can't show his cards, right?
Right, right.
He's not going to get, you know, weepy about it. He's going to get pissed.
I thought he was, look, now that we're talking about it, I thought he was just mad at Suki for garnishing and salting and lemoning. Nope. But I got you. Mm-mm.
That was indirect anger for Lauren.
Do we need to get you help? Like, let it out.
He needs magic risotto.
So you, okay, if you were not Scott/Luke,
yeah,
do you totally dislike them together?
No. No, I don't. I think they're good together. I like that, but it's not in that setting.
The teacher mom.
Rory is pleading with her own mother not to do this. She lied to her daughter. Why is Max knocking on our door? What's going on? Then it hits Rory like, oh, what? What are you doing, Mom? And she's like, no, 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 no. It's nothing. You lied to me, Mom. You didn't tell me about this. No, no, no. And then it's like, you know, the Max Medina manipulation virus gets on Lorelai and she starts manipulating her own kid. Right? Oof. Like, no, justifying, like, this is okay. And then that final scene where it's like, you know, I won't do it if, I mean, that's how the manipulation virus got around. She was so adamant about dating that guy. She gave Rory, a 16-year-old girl under a tremendous amount of pressure to keep her mother happy, guilted her into, and you know, manipulators are, you know, some of them are very clever about it. They give the other person all the power to make the decision of what they're going to do, knowing full well what the answer is going to be, right? And she came back and said, it's okay, go ahead, date him. But, you know, hey, Thursday night, keep him out late so, you know, I can, whatever.
I feel you, but I also think that Rory gave the thumbs up.
I don't.
I do.
I don't at all. She knew, Rory knew full well and explained it to her mother before she said, get help at the end of the Cinnamon's Wake scene. What hell this is going to create for her at school. She listed all the things that are going to go wrong. For her, it's at Chilton. When this dating thing begins. I mean, she's 16. She knew it was going to be bad for her. It's already bad for her. Why are you making it worse, Mom? Why are you lying to me? Why are you going after this guy? What's going on? Get help. And Suki even calls her crazy. Suki said, oh, no, no. Rory knows. She knows you're crazy. You know, that's all. And she goes, well, you know, thanks for cheering me up.
Is it wrong that I kind of love it?
No, I mean, that's good television, right? That's what you need. You need conflict in television, but this, it kind of borders on character degradation. I mean, it's like how the balancing act in creating a character and writing is, you know, how do you create conflict and how do you get the character so close to the line where it almost starts to hurt the character? And I think they're walking a very fine line there. It's very risky stuff.
I agree. They're walking a fine line, which I went to the side of, but it's cute.
But here's the thing. They're putting them in situations like Cinnamon's Wake where they're being portrayed as so compassionate for Bette's cat. I mean, Rory was so sweet to Maury. Mm-hmm. And what did Maury say? I'll never eat clams again.
Yes.
And Rory said, me neither, me neither. And just taps. Yeah. I mean, it was so sweet. It was so heartbreaking.
So sweet.
That girl's so sweet. The character's so sweet. And then there you go. Lorelai's over there. She leaves to go over and be with her friend and comfort her friend. I mean, these are very compassionate people. And it's hard to dislike them in that situation, even though there's all this manipulation going on because Lorelai needs to get some. You know, because basically that's what it was about. I mean, why was the scenes are in shows and movies for a purpose. They all have a purpose. So Miss Patty is busted by Kirk and they say, you know, nothing unauthorized will go in your mouth again.
That was amazing.
You know, that kind of, you know, all alluding to amazing. All this stuff. Right. And Miss Patty is like, she's always, there's always sexual innuendo with Miss Patty. Everything out of her mouth.
I love when she says, I won't tell a single soul that you don't know that young man.
Right. Exactly. But that's the episode. The episode should be called, you know, sexual innuendo or.
Yes. Well,
or somebody's going to get some.
Okay. Everybody take a deep breath because we do need to come back because there are so many parallels between Max and Lorelai and Rory and Dean. So.
Yeah.
Maybe. In through the nose, out through the mouth.
And Dean shows up at the last second and does the same thing that Max Medina did to Lorelai, saying, yes. Maybe this isn't such a good, look, I like you, but I don't want to force you. And then he walks away. She goes, no. And Dean does the same thing. He comes in and says, look, I like you, but I don't want to force you. Bye. And she goes, no. It's the same deal.
Because they've got game. Breathe.
I do have a question for Scott.
Yes.
Would you have preferred the Chilton dad over Max?
Ooh, good one. Good one.
No, none of them. Don't date these Nobody. People. Don't bring your big city values into a small town and act like you can lord over people. I mean, these are supposed to be small town values, and now you got people macking on each other at the bake sale. That doesn't happen in small towns. What's going on? What are you doing? You're going to blow up her education. You're going to get everybody sued. The school's going to shut down in Hartford. You know, it's a scandal. It's a potential scandal. That's why we watch.
Breathe.
I'm going to take a little sip of Scotty P's Big Bug Coffee.
Yes, more caffeine.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, hey everybody, we're back with Scott Patterson and I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio. We have a very special guest with us this week, Ted Rooney. As you know, he played Maury Dell in Gilmore Girls. And I'm going to read a little bit about Ted. He first appeared as Maury in a total of 19 episodes. Wow, I thought it was more than that, Ted.
I think I counted a few more by IMDb, but somewhere 19? Up there and maybe 23 or
Boy,
4.
Boy, it seems like you were in almost every other one.
That's great. I'm glad you think that. That's a tall shadow.
You do. You're from Portland, Oregon. You're the seventh of nine children. Wow. You earned your undergraduate degree in theater at Lewis and Clark College. You went on to receive an MFA in acting at Temple University in Philadelphia, my hometown.
Nice.
You're 6 foot six. After college, you went to play semi-professional basketball in Germany. I did not know that. Following your basketball career, you moved to New York City for 6 years to pursue a theater. And then before moving to Los Angeles to continue your theater career while pursuing on-camera television appearances, you acted in an abundance of projects, including Legally Blonde, best known for Maury Dell and Gilmore Girls, Neo... Natologist Dr. Tabash on ER. I did not know that. And John McGarrigle on the HBO series Boardwalk Empire. Boy, that was a good series. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So let's listen, Ted. Let's just start from the beginning.
Okay.
Let's just start from the beginning. How'd you get the part of Maury Dell on Gilmore Girls?
Oh, wow. This is quite a story. I walked in that trailer on the Warner Brothers set.
Right.
And they laughed. Yeah. Yeah. I know Sally Struthers had already been cast and they were looking somebody to perhaps contrast her. Mm-hmm. And what a contrast.
Yeah. Well, all that energy Wow.
I did nothing. I think I had one line I said. Mm-hmm. They sat me down and I faked like I was playing the piano and I said one line and they laughed. And then I left and I went on a trip to Mexico with my friend John, a three-week trip where we're touring around the small villages surrounding Mexico City, the colonial villages. And I thought to check my answering machine at one point. Mm-hmm. And there were 5 messages from my agent getting more and more distressed as they went. You know, one of those. back in the day when you didn't have a cell phone, right. You had to check your messages. Right. And the last one was, you have to call today. You have to call today. Right. And I called and he said, they want you. You need to get up here now. Right. And so I left Mexico and my friend and then shot this first episode that I was in and then flew back to Mexico and joined my friend.
Fantastic. Who was in the room at the audition? Do you remember?
I think Amy was in there, okay. But that's about all I could recall besides the casting director. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What's
Mara?
Mara. Mara's there. Yeah.
Well, sure. Okay. So what did you first think when you read the script? You know, what were your initial thoughts on Maury?
This is so weird that you're asking me, you know, the guest star routine and you've been there and there's the whole happy family that does the show and you get to try and fit in as best as possible and not muck up the works. And then you go home and you have your life and you have other roles you play and everything. But the weird thing about Gilmore Girls is with his guest star role, people recall this and want to know about it. And what was your experience? And it was so much like my other guest star roles, you know, because I unfortunately wasn't quite in the family. For me personally, my hopes got, I have to say, I got a little, my hopes up. Like,
that's not true. This could be,
no.
You mean they didn't make you a series regular? That's what you're kind of referring to?
Exactly. I mean, as an actor, you know, you want to have that regular gig,
yeah, sure.
And it kind of puts you over the top. But I also to be a part of truly a part of a, because Community is hard to find as a guest actor as far as mm-hmm. in the business. Mm-hmm. But to actually be on a set regularly where everyone's just happy to be there and you're all actors and you're working. I mean, it's like doing, you know, theater. You know, at that point.
But when you came to the set, it was always, you know, everybody was uplifted because Ted's here.
Oh my God.
It was the same reaction.
Just the fact that you're asking me these questions, you're interviewing me and you're like one of the stars of the show. It's just, this is weird. It's like John Cleese is interviewing me about some small role I had on TV once. Hey man, it's crazy.
It's Gilmore Girls. It's global. Fan base wants
it. I felt it too. About the show, I felt it's like this is something special. The writing is so clever and so tight, and all the actors I'm meeting are good actors. This is going to be great. And so I was in five of the first seven episodes, mm-hmm. and then I just looked. I hadn't thought about this in some time because you don't try not to think about these things.
Right.
But I went back and looked, and it was five episodes of the first seven, and the last episode I was in, I think it was the birthday party for Alexis, but I was in the Gilmore house with their tight circle celebrating, you know, Rory's birthday. And I just like, this is it. Oh my God, I'm a part of this family.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, wow, not just for business reasons, for just life reasons. It was so awesome. And to be a part of a story that you can be proud of too,
right,
you know?
Right.
And,
you know, one of the most satisfying parts of having this podcast, not only, after pitching it and making a deal with iHeart, you know, the most satisfying part of this, and this is something I always, always kind of chafed at during shooting and the PR part of it and all that everybody wasn't included. Because everybody was such an important part of it. I mean, it didn't matter how small your role was or how many episodes you did, you know, to the Gilmore fan base, which is, you know, it's everywhere. Trust me. Cause this podcast is charting in Mongolia. It's charting in Azerbaijan. It's everywhere. So the global fan base is, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
And your character, you're a star. To the fan base, they're not thinking in terms of, well, it's he didn't insane. Do that many episodes. It's like, you were there.
Yeah,
and you are part of this show just as much as anybody is. And that's the beauty of it because everybody, so many people got overlooked on this cast. And you're all so gifted. And these characters are all so memorable. This gives us a chance to bring you on and give you the credit that you deserve.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
So what'd you think of Maury? How do you explain Maury?
Okay, back to the original question, right? How do I explain Maury? seriously, I mean, just say the line and stay out of the way of the furniture. Don't make too much of it. The very first episode, I think it was Michael Cattleman.
Yeah.
And
Michael Cattleman, for those of you who don't know, is a director on the show. And I think he was also an executive producer, and we all loved him, and he was great.
Yeah. So he was great. And the first scene, I'm like, okay, so I'll be this jazz artist and put a little voice on. And he stopped me after the first take. He's like, okay, so yeah, you know, just talk. You don't have to do any of that jazz stuff, you know. And from then on, I just you know, talked. And I'm that kind of faithful, nice guy who doesn't stand out except for his height. It's that guy that decides to love Babbitt too. Babbitt? Is that her?
Babette,
sorry, gee, meaning Christmas. So that's just like, she's a crazy person.
A lot of trips to Mexico, Ted. A lot of trips to Mexico. Babette, okay. Babette. Maybe take a couple of less trips, you know. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
just, exactly. I'm just kidding. I love this. This is so weird. I'm that guy that just showed up for her and said, I love you.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, yes. I just love you the way you are. So steady Eddie.
You had the perfect relationship. You guys were so in love.
Yeah.
And especially that's so touching scene. It's such a touching scene at the end of Cinnamon's Wake when.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just go look at the stars, baby.
Oh man.
And you
Sam Phillips.
There. Beautiful. Just a beautiful moment.
Oh,
really,
sweet.
Really was. You guys made everybody feel what true love should be. And just
thank
dedication
you.
To each other and true love for each other. It was very, very sweet. But just, you know, you guys had some of the best moments in the whole series, which is why you are iconic. You are iconic, Ted Rooney.
Oh my God.
You can travel anywhere in the world
so
and people
weird.
Will recognize you
that's
from the
true.
Show.
That's true.
Yes.
My wife was teaching when I met her. She was teaching in Slovakia, in high school in Slovakia. So I went to visit her. This is when we were falling in love and I was courting her, you know, via long distance. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there and spent a few weeks out there, and several of her students just went crazy when I walked in the room because they knew me immediately as Maury Dell. And Slovakia, that was the first time that our TV shows really started to reach a mass, the world kind of. On that same trip, we were in Czech Republic in Prague, and the TV was on in the other room. We were staying in this apartment, and Gilmore Girls came on, and I came on randomly out of all the characters that could occur. And I'm speaking Czech and just, Weird.
I've gotten a million emails over the years of people who've been in Europe, and they text me or they email and say, yeah, you're speaking French right now in Paris.
Exactly.
On TV, it's 5 a.m.
I mean, yeah. I cannot imagine what it's like for you. And it's a specific crowd because they're Gilmore Girls fans.
Yeah.
Some people have never seen Gilmore Girls,
right.
But the fans have seen them 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Oh.
And so
30 or 40 times, 50 times.
We're etched in their brains.
Yes.
So you must just like wherever you go.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
It's crazy.
I was in Chicago. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, they're always, you know, they're not, they don't go crazy. They're very, very gentle and very respectful, and they're just really nice. And they just want to share with you what the show has meant to them over the, I mean, it's very, very nice.
That's true.
It
I think
really
the idea is.
Is
we are a part of their family, or the Gilmore Girls feels like family for them too, just like it felt with me when I first arrived. And so it's less of a worship and more of like, hey, family.
Uh-huh. So listen, Maury Dell, husband to Sally Struthers, Babette. Or Babbitt, whatever you want to call her.
Babbitt.
Did you love working with Sally? What was that like?
Oh, first day, little hint. I know who Sally Struthers is very well. We're sitting on the set together next to each other. It's the first time I haven't even officially met her. We're just sitting right next to each other. And she goes, "Oh, it's so hot." And I said, "Yeah, not like the Portland days, huh?" And she did one little double take and looked at me and said, "Are you Ed Rooney's son?" Oh, wow. And she totally got it right away. My dad was one of her favorite teachers in high school here in Portland, God. Grant High School. Yeah. Yeah. And we always had an All in the Family picture up in his office that was signed by Sally Struthers. Oh, so we were very well acquainted with who Sally Struthers was. She was Grant's rock star. And so to sit next to her, I just couldn't. I was like, oh, a kid in a candy store. I couldn't wait to, you know, let her know. And her reaction was priceless. She just one breath.
Oh, what a great
story. You're Ed Rooney's son, aren't you? Like, yeah. And so, of course, we're, you know, fast friends after that.
Sure.
Yeah. And she comes up to Portland once in a while. And so we've had her over for tea. And she's my son Abe's fairy godmother. Yeah. Nice. She agreed to do that for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is just wonderful. So, isn't she great?
Oh, she's great.
So
what
was the best moment you had with her on set? Is there one that really sticks out that just,
well, one thing, she's always looking out for me, mm-hmm. you know, she does that, you know, with younger actors and, they always wanted me to wear sunglasses and I was happy to do that. But Sally's like, your blue eyes, they got to see your blue eyes. Take your sunglasses off. And she would have me take them off so that whoever was in charge had to have me put them back on. Right. And that she was always trying to get me to say, "Hey, Ken, you need a few more lines. Could we say a few more lines?" But one of my favorite moments was with her and Liz. Uh-huh. We were out by the out at the hacienda or where Lorelei, you know, runs, and the two of them, we just had a few lines in the scenes. We're just holding court and yucking it up. And it was getting ridiculous because they were laughing their heads off and everybody's laughing their heads off. And you could see a couple of suits that were kind of nervous, like, we got to be shooting here. But just hilarious listening to them riff with each other, mm-hmm. bounce off of each other. It was priceless to get to know this person who I, you know, as a kid, was just this iconic
Had
actor
I just surreptitiously the recorded family. The Sally, Liz Torres conversations. And routines that they did on set. I mean, that stuff was gold.
Did?
Oh, yeah. They were in the diner all the time. Oh, yeah. When they were in the diner shooting a scene, you know, they were riffing back and forth. It was magic. It was just like, God.
Old school. It's old school storytellers, you know, the old comedians and actors that have all those stories. Yeah. I could just listen forever. Yeah. Oh, God.
So did you guys have that great chemistry from the start? I mean, you told the story, so the chemistry was there. But on... while you were acting, was that chemistry?
Yeah.
Did that translate over into the acting side? Because it really seemed to.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was the leader, you know, of the unit. And as a person, she was the leader of our unit and as in our relationship, you know.
Right.
Where she'd lead, I would follow.
There you go. What do you remember best from Cinnamon's Wake? That wacky episode.
Oh, from Cinnamon's Wake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the both of you look so great in that episode. What is the thing that you remember most about Cinnamon's Wake?
I clearly remember that last moment you're talking about. Right. And I think it was one of the shows I ended up watching. And what was cool about it was one of my favorite artists, Sam Phillips, who wrote a lot of the music for, and everybody's familiar with that, for the show, wrote a little piece for that moment. And it was at the Christmas party that year when T-Bone Burnett was married to her at the time. And I'm standing next to T-Bone Burnett, who's about my height. Mm. And you can't miss him. And we're at the food. And I just kind of started to mention that I was a fan of his and a fan of hers. And he's like, "Hey, well, you should come meet her." And he drags me over to meet Sam Phillips. And Sam Phillips was all like excited to see me because she had written this little, you know, piece mm-hmm. for that little scene and just to be a part of Gilmore Girls. She was like a thrilled fan herself. And I couldn't believe it because I've followed her career since I was in high school.
Right.
She's definitely one of my favorite singer-songwriters of all time. And then she's like, "Hey, could I meet Lauren?" And so I brought Sam Phillips over to meet Lauren. Gotcha. Just one of those surreal moments where, you know, because I'm just a guy from Portland. It just feels weird to be running in those, in that realm. But to have met Sam Phillips and for to have her have written a little jingle for our scene.
And, you know, T-Bone Burnett introducing people. Exactly. All of a sudden, what's happening
here? Exactly. So super, super cool. Yeah, that was that from Cinnamon's Wake. It was just a nice, simple, you know, just be present and be with each other moment. So it was great.
That happened to me. I mean, there were several times over the years where, you know, these massive celebrities would be in Video Village watching a scene. And then you'd come out, you know, you'd come out from the diner and you'd go sit in your chair and you'd plop down and you'd say hello to somebody and then turn back and like, that's Brian De Palma.
Oh, my God.
It's like, what's going on?
I know.
You know? Yeah. And the only thing I could the only thing I could say to him was, because we were born on the same day, I said, hey, you know, we're born on the same day.
That thing we're trying to find that we can say, you know. That's so funny. You know, somebody like you is obviously a very successful actor, has the same experience. But then you hear the stars on TV shows talk about the same experience. Mm-hmm. They're movie stars. They're, you know, they're just the top of the heap, and they meet somebody and just turn gaga. And they're like, that scene with the telephone pole you did.
Right. You know. I walked into the diner one day and there's Norman Mailer sitting there, going through a script and hi, how you doing? It's like, that's Norman Mailer, right?
I know.
And it's just like sort of normal, average, you know, we're going to shoot a scene. No big deal.
Yeah.
It's just, God, what a great experience.
That is.
So the house, look, that house was so tiny. Your house, Babette and Maury's house was so small. Did you ever bump into things? Did you bump your head?
Well, I have a lifetime of ducking. So I'm in trouble when I wear a baseball cap because I don't see those things coming. So I have hit my head many times, but I didn't happen to on that set. That was one of those things too, is like they built a house for us. This is, we're in here. Right. One of those moments right next door to the Gilmore Girls.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Can you play the piano?
I can, I'm a hack.
Can you play, can you still play the Cinnamon's Wake song that you played in the episode? Were you playing that song?
No, they had me listen to it and you know, mime. So if I would have been playing it, you could have told that I was not a professional jazz musician, but I might have been able to bang it out a bit. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you consider yourself a father figure to Rory on any level?
Where is this question coming from?
It's coming from the fans.
Oh,
they want to know, Ted.
They read.
They ask really, really, really intelligent questions.
Oh, now you mention it. You know, I'm a grown man living next door, and she doesn't have a dad. You know, we did have a moment. Oh, we did have a great moment in Cinnamon's Wake. That's right, mm-hmm. Where she sits down next to me.
Yes.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Very beautiful moment. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she puts her hand on me and. Mm-hmm. And what was the final dialogue?
Clams. I'll never eat clams again.
Clams. I'll never eat clams again. But she comforts me with something.
She said, really, neither will I.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Neither will I. And I look at her.
She gets that look on her face and holds your arm a little bit. It was very sweet.
She was great.
Yeah.
Alexis was such, for as young as she was, she talk about never push, you know. Just bring enough and bring come as you are. Mm-hmm. So real. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where you see a really good actor and you're watching from 10 feet away and you're like, they're really not doing much,
right.
You know? And then we watch them on the camera. And it's like the whole story is there.
Exactly.
And it's seamless and mm-hmm. it's just easy.
Yep. Yeah.
She made it look easy.
She instinctually knew how to act without being terribly trained.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
She did.
And she walked right into a masterclass with all these monster actors, you know.
She did. And she
not only held her own, but I mean, I don't think there was a better character in all of television the last 20 years or now last 40 years.
Yeah.
It's 41 years.
Yeah.
So vulnerable, so sweet.
Yeah. So,
so easy to root for, you know.
Yeah, totally.
What's your favorite thing about the following people? Sally, Babette.
What's my favorite thing about the following people? Oh, Sally. Mm-hmm. Or Babette. Mm-hmm. Which?
Both.
Her spirit, her joy of life, her leading with her voice.
Rory, Alexis.
That they're two sides of one coin. They're together. They make one solid, unbelievably perfect woman.
Lauren, Lorelai.
Lauren, Lorelai. Mm-hmm. Oh. She's large and in charge. Get out of her way, man. She'll take over if you want. Just get out of her way.
You know, think about the amount of dialogue.
Oh my God.
That she had to deal with every day.
Oh my freak. Yeah, exactly. Day. She had to stay single focused. Yeah, I mean, she had to do her job. She had a job to do that.
Yeah. That's not just 2 days a week or three days a week. That's five. And then going into Saturday. So it's really five and a half.
Can't even imagine. And I hear there was a coach on set that you could kind of run lines with.
George
too.
Bell. Yeah.
Yeah. George Bell.
He was there to save the day.
He lifted the show to another level because of that help.
He did.
The actors were then free to be because they got past that. I teach acting, and the thing, especially with comedy like this, that's so tightly written, is half the job is just getting past the dialogue. Yes. Forget about the character for now.
Right.
Get past that dialogue so you can be free to be. Until you're there, you're in your head and you're hanging on.
Exactly.
And you're in no man's land. You don't want to be there.
George,
surviving.
You don't want to be there. You don't want to be surviving and hoping the word comes to you. You got to be bulletproof and on it. You know, you got to reel it to control it. Yeah. And George Bell provided that.
Yeah, absolutely.
He did.
So last week I had a couple of actors doing a scene from Gilmore Girls because I love to bring those out because of that's required, you know, and it's like basically my coaching is tighter, faster. Come on, let's go, let's go.
So we heard from directors faster.
And then when they get it there, they start to discover things about the because it's so well written. You just have to ride that wave. They don't have to do that character work as much.
Get you out of your head.
Yeah.
You just say it.
Yeah.
And the character appears. Miraculously.
Totally.
So listen, you know, I have a confession to make. I did borrow a few things from the set and took them home for safekeeping. Did you steal anything from the set, Ted? I mean, come on. There's only about 5 million people listening right now. So
how many years do we have before they can track us down? They can't track us down anymore. I think we're free now.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. I went into your diner. And we had one of the biggest fans out there was in our life. And I took one of the cups from the one that was on camera. And
I had to fill out police reports, the whole thing. They put me into interrogation, but you're the one.
The show was over. It was when the show was over.
Let me tell you, pal, I'm making a phone call after we get off of this right now. We're going to solve this caper. So look, we've been talking about in this last episode and in this one, Max Medina. Do you feel, Ted, that Max was inappropriate with Lorelai? I really want to know.
That's the question at hand. What does he get away with in this? He's taken her up. He's taken her out in this episode, right? He shows up in Cinnamon's wake to take her out.
Correct.
And Rory doesn't even know about it.
Correct.
And he's cool with that. And
he is. So
I don't. I don't trust him. I don't trust him. And I feel like when he walks away there, he's being a little manipulative.
That's
when he's like,
exactly.
Okay. I guess you know. No. Please.
Right. Hey, I really like you, but I don't want to force you into anything. And then he starts to leave. No,
I'm just a good guy. I'm being a good guy here. I'm such a good guy.
I happen to be your daughter's teacher. I'm going to blow up my career. I'm going to ruin her education. I'm probably get Chilton sued, but I really want to
I want to
get her.
We know what's going on here.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
we know what's going on.
You know, Lorelai's feeling the romance of the potential of true love. I'm not sure he's thinking that.
You know what? I don't know either. I think you're
If he's
right.
really thinking Lorelei, he probably wouldn't be doing this.
He's rubbing her arm. Did you see that? He's rubbing her arm. He doesn't even know her? He's touching her elbow. He's rubbing her arm. He's rubbing.
Touch her, man. If I'd have seen that, if my character would have seen that, it would have been all over. All over for that.
So you and me, right? Yeah. You know, like you got to talk to my buddy Mort. If you don't back not, off a of Lorelei, you're going to have to talk to my buddy over here, Maury. Okay, pal?
I'm not quite sure I'd be that direct because he seemed pretty muscular. I might go and smash his Mustang mirror. The mirror on his Mustang. I would destroy that mirror. I don't think I have cojones that you have. I know Luke would. Luke would just beat the shit out. It would get really ugly. It's like bloody, you know, bloody pulp, and it's like he has to go to the hospital. Now the Gilmore Girls takes a serious turn.
Yeah, how nice does your hair look now? Make a mess of you. Oh my God, no! But we love Scott Cohen. It's just the character. It's just the character.
I don't trust him. I agree. Right. I don't trust him.
Oh, sorry. But he played it beautifully, didn't he? And he was supposed to play
it
that way. So it's just a beautiful.
He's cute and charming.
Manipulate. No, that's what I said in the last segment. The guy is manipulative.
Really?
He's just, and he's like, he's so turned on by her that he's like, he can't stop touching her. Bugs me. God, it bugs me. It bugs me even now. Oh.
He wants to give her a ride in that Mustang.
Yeah, that cool convertible Mustang.
Come on. Think about it. Come on. It's all a part of his show.
It's all a part of Trappy sets.
He wanted to get his own show. He wanted a spinoff show. He fought for it, but no, in the end, truth wins out. Yeah,
for real? He tried. What do you mean he tried?
No,
to
I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I'm teasing.
I thought you had a scoop here, man.
He was vying for. I'm sorry, but by the end of this season, we can't talk about that, right?
I can talk about anything you want, but
I haven't seen it. To get pretty serious? I haven't either.
I think they did. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the episodes, but I know I sort of know a couple of the facts. I mean, I was there all the time, so.
So this conversation is ongoing.
Sink in.
It'll be interesting to see if you grow to trust him a little more with time. You know, if your instincts prove maybe wrong.
No, I'm not going to trust a manipulator who places his own needs above that of one of his students.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I also just don't think he's thinking of Lorelei first.
Exactly. And he's definitely thinking of himself first, maybe Lorelei second, but Rory last.
Yeah.
And Chilton a distant fourth.
Whew. Yeah.
You know, we got to get some guys together with crowbars. We got to fix this situation. We'll mess up that car.
I got the mirror. I got the rearview mirror covered.
It's a nice
car. Smash the hell out of that rearview mirror.
I think that's a nice car.
It is a nice one.
Maybe we'll just take it, and then we show up in the car, and and we pull up to the Dragonfly. You and me, like you're in the back seat, I'm driving, or maybe you're driving, I'm in the back seat. We pull up to the Dragonfly.
I'm the driver. Yeah,
and we say,
"You got the Tommy gun."
I say, "Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
You want to come out? Go to the racetrack? Have a couple of beers? You know." We'll talk.
New color style.
Anyway.
I'm so happy for you that it all worked out in the end. I'm so happy for you.
You know, groveling works. Anyway, so we're going to do a segment called Rapid Fire. You ready?
Oh, boy. Do you have points? Is the score? Can I win something? Can I win some Scotty coffee?
Sure. I'll send you some.
Okay, but I got to do well, right? Oh, boy.
You better do well.
Is it faster the better?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
That's why it's called rapid fire.
Okay.
Rapid fire. How do you like your coffee?
Practically muddy.
Can you smell snow?
Yes. S-N-O-W.
Are you Team Logan, Team Jess, or Team Dean?
Team Dean, because he's on super, super, supernatural, and he's so awesome on it.
Show's over. He's on a new show. But he was.
I'm still watching it. Yeah.
Who's the daddy?
Who's the daddy?
Rory's baby daddy.
Oh. That's it creeps me out, that whole thing. I'm sorry. I'm not happy with that whole scenario. I am not. I don't even want to comment. I don't approve. Okay, that's the prude in me.
I'm sending you coffee.
That was I won.
That creeps me.
Oh, I can't believe it. I won. Oh, I've never won anything. Coffee. What a laugh.
Ted, you're gold, buddy.
Oh, my God.
You're gold. What's the best memory of Gilmore Girls?
Best memory of Gilmore Girls. Best memory of just meeting Sally Struthers and having my dad, who was her favorite teacher, on the set hanging out with her, and we got pictures together. What a happy thing.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my God.
What a nice moment. Wow. Full circle. That's great. Favorite Friday night dinner meal.
Friday night. Oh, like the Gilmore Girls estate?
Or I guess, or even because, you know, I don't know. You were never at a.
Well, I should say, okay, so let me see. My wife's mushroom pasta, but actually Friday night is order out night. So Dew's teriyaki, the local, gut bomb. Right. Yeah, love it.
What's a show you're binge watching right now?
Martin Freeman, parenting, about parenting, Breeders.
Okay.
My wife and I.
Cast member you texted most recently?
Sally. Yeah.
Okay.
Sally. Yeah. We've gone back and forth through the years.
Ted, this has been a lot of fun. I got to
really?
Tell you. I got to tell
I
you.
A lot I was of like, fun. Why do they want to interview me? I don't have anything to say.
Well,
about
I think, you know, it's obvious why we wanted to interview. You're a great interview for sure. I mean, this is really
fun. You're
making
me cry. I'm never interviewed. I was so nervous because you get interviewed all the time. I've never, I mean, rarely, rarely. The most I was interviewed was when we went to this thing on the East Coast for Gilmore Girls about 5 years ago. The big, one of these big cast, you know, everybody fly over there and hang out in the town that it was based, the show is kind of based on.
Right.
And they gave me a microphone. And, you know, because I'm so quiet on the set and people never really got to know me, that was their first mistake. All the cast members are up there on the stage and I'm answering half the questions. And I'm just like, you know, nobody else is going to say, I'm going to say, I got something to say. And I was having fun, but you could see the cast, like, who was he on the show? Why is he talking so much? But that was fun. But I'm so intimidated by
the
idea of
an interview. Talking so much. Why? Yeah, what's exactly. going on here? The men have to be quiet. I mean, what's?
Yeah. Why is the actor talking? That's what I'm always told.
The male
on the
actor,
set, I tell myself, don't talk, because I'm a guest star actor. And you're not supposed to like. Just why is the actor talking?
Right. We were basically just the pets. We were the pets. Yeah. We were the set pets. Right.
Oh, we're so lucky to be there. I was so lucky to be a part of that show. Set pet. Yeah.
Buddy,
put your glasses back on.
Buddy, we got, we're going to reach out to you, get your mailing address. I'm going to send you some coffee. Okay. Cause
Yay!
You were such an awesome guest.
What's your coffee like?
It's grade one specialty coffee. It's beautiful.
So is there like a espresso or a regular, or is there just the standard, like Luke's diner coffee?
We have some whole bean and we have mostly just ground. Yeah. We have K-cups too.
Yeah. Okay. Great. What does that mean? Grade what?
Grade one specialty coffee means it's the best of the best.
Wow.
Arabica.
How do you get that stamp? What do you got to do to get that stamp? You got, oh yeah.
Hey,
oh, boy. I get it. Okay.
You know, cool. You got, it's a whole thing. It's a whole nother conversation, but it's very complex and it's expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but my coffee is not expensive. So it's
awesome. You're really going to send me some.
Yeah.
Really?
What kind do you want?
Yeah, there's different kinds.
Yeah,
so
we have 100 different SKUs. What do you want?
Dark stuff.
What do you want?
The espresso, the dark stuff. The dark stuff.
You want dark roast? You want
dark, thick, like I said, you know, I like it thick and
I'll
dark
send
as possible.
You a, I'll send you a house blend, send you a breakfast blend, send you a French roast, you know.
French roast. That'll do it.
Okay.
So yeah, if you send me a couple, I'll get to use a couple, but I want to save one and put it on my shelf.
Okay.
So we'll yeah, that, so good. Good. All right.
All right. Great talking to you, Ted. And
thank you.
Best to everyone back there. And we'll, you know what? I have a feeling you're going to be back on pretty soon.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to. Yeah.
I want a reoccurring? Potentially. Potentially reoccurring. Oh my God. That's music to my ears. No. Okay. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Please, please, please. This has been one of the most surreal experiences of my life.
Really?
I'm in my son's bedroom,
right,
you know, with little notes stuck over the screen about Gilmore Girls to try and remember to say something, and talking to Scott Patterson. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? It's so surreal. And you're laughing at my jokes too. It's like, you look like my brother when you're laughing.
You're
like
funny,
that. Exactly,
really?
Like my brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. It. All right, we got to.
Okay, thank you.
We got to go. Thank you so much for your time, Ted. All the best.
Peace.
Stay safe. All right. We'll talk soon.
Peace. God
okay.
bless. Okay,
all right.
Bye-bye.
Take care, buddy.
What a doll. Oh, my God. He's the sweetest
ever.
Goodness.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And he really jumped on board with
God.
Your manipulation.
Oh, he did. He wasn't even prompted.
He didn't even hear us say it.
Uh-uh.
And then he said it. My God. I still love Max. I love Max.
He's getting destroyed. All right, gang. That was too much fun. We got to recover here. We could take a little break. We'll be right back with the podcast after these messages. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, everybody, we're back. I'm Scott Patterson. I am All In Podcast. That was none other than Ted Rooney, all 6'6" of him from...
Tall. Whoa.
Tall. A tall drink of water is he. And what a great guest. Oh, my goodness.
Was hilarious. That fun.
He was hilarious. What a sweet man, right? I mean, what a...
Complete doll.
What a
doll.
Just,
exactly how you'd think Maury would be.
Right. Perfect casting.
Because Maury is so sweet.
He is. And that's Ted, man.
Oh, man. Speaking of not so sweet, you really kind of are feuding with Suki in this episode. You guys got some tension.
There's, well, you know, we're two master chefs, if you will, you know, vying for the same turf.
You screamed at her at the counter.
Yeah, that was then tough stuff.
You kind of shoved each other, although I did think it was gentlemanly of you that you let her go in ahead at the wake. A little, there was a little pushy.
We tried to go into the door where the Maury and Babette's house door with small doorway at the same time. We got stuck. It was a funny bit. Nobody didn't push anybody. She didn't push me.
Mm-mm, shovey, shove, shove.
No, it's not shoving. Nobody's shoving no one, lady. I wouldn't shove her. She wouldn't shove me. I just tried to get ahead of her. That's why I said, yeah, what do you got in there, Luke? And I'm just bricks. And I tried to run up the stairs by her. I wasn't shoving. I was attempting to pass her to get in
squishy,
first.
Squish, squish,
squish. I love that scene.
The funniest is
I love
she's
the scene.
Got this whole plan for how, where everything should go. And you're just like, have at it.
The brilliance of that scene stuck in the doorway was the camera angle. Wasn't anything we did.
Yeah.
We were, the camera angle was looking up at us and it made it that much funnier.
And it made the door seem that much smaller.
Yes.
You're like, what and it is was just, going on with this?
I laughed out loud on that. That was fun to watch. And then she made a little move. She faked me out and went in first and I just stood there.
I thought you were gentlemanly about it. Like ladies first.
I don't think so. Uh-uh.
Okay. We were going to talk about Rory and Dean. And Max and Lorelai. And did you notice that Dean on the bus said goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore, and Max said the same line? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, parallel.
Yeah. Both manipulators, both trying to guilt them into a date.
Not
you know, probably Dean is Max Medina's illegitimate kid from another mother from 17 years ago. You know what I mean? From another state where he pulled the same garbage and got fired. Had to leave the state. And that's going to be like in the part two of the revival, if there ever is one. You know,
they're
that,
just
that'll
boys
be the story.
That are a little bit shy, mm-hmm. dipping their toe in the water, but trying to work their game.
But I think Dean was genuinely put off. I think he genuinely sort of laid down his sword and said, wow, I don't want to bother you. You know, because she was not terribly friendly to him on the bus. I mean, she was kind of, she was so overwhelmed by it, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that she reacted in a way that could be interpreted by a sensitive young boy, mm-hmm. as Dean was, as being like, I'm not interested. Get away from me, you know? Hey, the bus. No, we're just going all the way to Hartford. You got to get off. Bus driver, stop the bus. It's good, you know.
She's just shy and awkward.
Shy and awkward. That's all. Right. Doesn't know how to handle it. From mm-hmm. that, another tall drink of water. The illegitimate son of Max Medina. That we're going to find out. We're going to peel that layer back and we're going to be shocked. It's going to be shocking. But no, I think he was being very earnest. And I don't think he was being manipulative. It was just something in his DNA from his father, Max Medina. But I think he was being manipulative.
Well, it was shocking to me that Ted, AKA Maury, used the word manipulative.
Yes.
And he did not hear us before.
No, he didn't. Mm-mm.
So that's two dudes now mm-hmm. that thought Max was manipulative, where I think he's charming and just has a lot of game.
I would be dude one. I'm dude one.
You're dude one.
He's dude two. So actually, he's dude one. I'm dude two. Yeah, no, that's
I just think Max really likes Lorelai and is going for it. He's very bold. He is super bold because he literally said, I think we should date. It was like, not like, I think we should hang out or go on a date. It was, I think we should date. And I was like, whoa.
How much do you have to think of yourself? I mean, you must think that you're pretty hot stuff to disregard your career, your code of unwritten code of ethics, your student's future, and the relate. But I mean, that could fracture the relationship between mother daughter. He didn't care. He just wanted to rub thumb, and then he wanted to rub other things and rub, and that's all he was thinking about. Okay, totally unfit to be an authority figure. You know what I mean? It was totally unfit.
The only part I did think was a little weird.
Yeah.
Was when, because I love Max. I'm all Max. I'm team Max right now. Was when he said, I know how to be discreet. That gave me a little bit of a, ooh, what?
It's like,
that was.
That's a sign of a professional who's done it many times. That's a serial violator of ethics.
That was a hint creepy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll come back strong from that. Mm-hmm. Which he does.
I don't know. I'll say. Am I going to be triggered further by this character?
Oh God, yeah. Poor Cinnamon. We haven't even talked about poor Cinnamon.
Yeah. Well, that was probably the funniest scene. You know, Sally Struthers is a comedy genius. She knows how to take a funny line and make it just laugh out loud funny. And I knew it, darling, when he fell off the couch and shot across the wax floor and ran into the light and he didn't move after that. You know, I mean, it's like, really? How funny is that woman? How is she not nominated? I'm going to keep saying this until people tell me to shut up. That woman deserved supporting actress nominations up and down the wazoo on all the big awards. And she never received one. It's crazy, crazy, crazy.
And Rory says, our town is weird. And Lorelai says, thank God.
Thank God, right?
Thank God. Oh my God. We didn't even talk about in the very beginning, opening scene, the dinner, the Friday night dinner without Richard, because he's in Germany.
Right.
That banter. Mm-hmm. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And your cousin, and I don't know this cousin.
But it's like the contempt between, and that's the nuclear fuel, right? Mm-hmm. The contempt between mother and daughter is so palpable. I mean, those two just hate each other. I mean, she hates her own mother with such a purple passion. It's just like
so good, though. And then, yeah, and then the call at the end of the episode.
But I mean, no, but the end of that dinner scene, you know, Rory laughs at Emily's joke.
Yeah, yes.
And it's like, of course. Emily wins again.
And Rory was the one saying, don't tell her you went to Cinnamon's wake.
Right.
You're going to hurt her feelings. Right. Rory's always sort of trying to play both sides because she loves them both.
Right.
Is Lorelai rubbing off on Emily with her humor and her jokes?
No, that's where Lorelai got it from.
Exactly.
That's where she got it from. So she took that sort of, you know, that very sophisticated, very educated sort of big city mentality and put it into Stars Hollow. And this is what you get. You get people running around their own daughter's backs trying to mac with the Max Medina. That's what you get. And you get those zany conversations at dinner, which are just like, huh? I mean, she, you know, didn't mock Suki because she didn't know what metaphorically meant, right? When she was talking at the diner, right? So it's like showing the level here. And, but they're still great friends, still loves her, the whole thing. But, and then she has, you know, she becomes the Suki in the dinner scene where the mother is like talking right over her head. She doesn't get it. So
I'm Riley, and here's our pop culture references. Rory's at the bake sale at Chilton, and she asks for home goods. And Rory says, by someone other than Dolly Madison.
Dolly Madison was a commercial chef, right? Some kind of Dolly Madison products and cakes. And
yep,
right?
Correct.
I think.
Yep.
Dating.
They definitely eat those at the Gilmore household.
Oh, sure.
Lorelai talks to Lane and says, where does your mom think you are? And Lane says, on a park bench contemplating the reunification of the two Koreas.
There you go. North and South Korea, you know, can't really get into politics here, but I think we all know
what that
means.
And Lorelai says, not here, skanking to Rancid.
Rancid the band.
Rancid the band.
What is that, a death metal? They're death metal?
Yeah.
A punk rock band. Yeah. Max says, very Henry the Eighth. Lorelai says, we're not into subtle.
I need to research Henry the Eighth. We need a history lesson on
a glutton, not a subtle person. Overweight, overeater, overconqueror, the whole thing.
I have it, but it was also a Shakespeare play. And in the play in 1613, a cannon shot employed for special effects and ignited the whole theater.
Oh.
So not here for subtle.
The Globe Theater?
It's, yes, at the Globe Theater.
Thank you.
Wow.
Good job. Rory's talking to Lane and she says, Philadelphia. And Lane says, Night Shyamalan lives there.
Oh, wait a minute. That's my hometown. What are they dissing my hometown for?
No. Did you know M. Night Shyamalan is from your hometown?
Yes. There's a lot of people from my hometown. A lot of people. A lot of great people.
I also think that reference works. I know who M. Night Shyamalan is.
It was an attitude. It's like, of all the cities in the world you'd want to live, you choose Philadelphia. Like, what's wrong with Philadelphia? See, it's an attitude on the Northeast, really, because they consider Philadelphia to be, you know, special.
True.
It's a thing. You know this, right? It's a thing.
Lorelai says, life is a funny thing, huh? And Sookie says, yeah, I love that Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
The painter.
Still works.
The painter. He's a painter, right? Isn't he a painter?
Oh, yes. Jim Carrey is a painter.
He's a painter.
Also, Dumb and Dumber.
And also one of the funniest the award show appearances ever.
Yes.
When he dressed up like the cool, the rocker, stoned out rocker. And he gets up there to accept an award and he goes,
yeah.
He does that whole routine. That was genius.
Sookie says, oh, very serious face. Jean-Paul Sartre.
Father of existentialism.
Whoa. No idea.
Correct.
Wow.
You didn't know Sartre?
No.
No exit, all that stuff. All right.
Luke says, you don't do yoga on the Dalai Lama's mat.
I got that.
Yeah, Dalai Lama. One. You don't step on Superman's cape.
That's another good one.
There you go. A little Jim Croce for you.
Hmm? Yeah.
You don't know who that is?
I do. Are you kidding? I'm old. Of course I know Jim Croce.
Lorelai says, information that would have come out eventually, like the Iran-Contra scandal.
Oh, sure.
And then they mention Oliver North.
Yeah.
Correct.
Did you get that, youngster?
I did not.
Yeah, you're not going to know. That's when Reagan was trying to raise money for fighting communists in Nicaragua, and the Congress wouldn't approve funding.
I don't want to think about what they're not teaching you kids in
history
class. So
he had to
class.
Go around and they did things in the
Gilmore
dark.
Gilmore Girls is really exposing my lack of history knowledge that I'm
yes.
It's a weakness I've found.
You got to be smart to watch Gilmore Girls.
Darn right.
Because if you're going to get all these references, you got to know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I know all the movies and the cartoons, just not the history.
There's two more. Keep going.
Lorelai says, you can't always control who you're attracted to. You know, I think the whole Angelina Jolie, Billy Bob Thornton thing really proves that.
I love that line because even though now we think about Angelina Jolie with Pitt, the Billy Bob Thornton era was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wearing their blood around each other's necks.
Yeah. I think like, you know, her, when she was young, when she first came out, I think everybody had a big crush on her. I actually wrote two screenplays for her.
No way.
Yeah, I tried to get him through to her people. And I knew her manager. And I tried to slip him a script. But when the Billy Bob thing happened, I didn't understand it at the time. But then I met him socially. And he's actually a pretty cool dude.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he's an interesting, smart, talented, cool dude. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, you know, you know, he's a very good writer. He's a very good actor. Mm-hmm. He's a very good musician. You know, he's a multi-hyphenate. So there's, Yeah, you know, and she, you know, she's an LA girl, right? Mm-hmm. She grew up in LA, and that's they're free spirited, freewheeling types of gals, man. Yeah, you know,
blood wearing necklaces.
They're setting the trends, man. Everything comes from California, right?
Okay, the last one I have, Lorelai mentioned she wants to be part of the Bengals, which I had no idea who that was.
Manic Monday? What? Walk Like an Egyptian?
I do know that one. I didn't know it was the Bengals.
Oh, my God. And what was interesting is when you made the show, they were broken up. They have since gotten back together.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. Susanna Hoffs was the lead singer, and they had broken up, but they are back together. I mean, I don't know if they're like touring right now, but yeah, they definitely reunited and went on tour.
Yeah. There are opportunities for touring for all those like 70s and 80s bands. If they can still do it. Yeah.
Riley, you need to get on your iTunes and listen to Manic Monday.
That's my homework. I'm on it. My favorite line was from Emily when she's on the phone with Lorelai, and she says, "I'm looking up aneurysm in our medical dictionary to see if I just had one."
The counter is a sacred space, my sacred space.
Oh, that's my line.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I made the cut. All right.
You did.
You know, I had a couple. You know, I can't get over Michelle. I just love him. I just love him. When he turns to her and says, kill me now. Like, I love that guy. And then I think really that competes with, there's so many good lines. Jeez.
Oh, we forgot lettuce and a mouse trap.
Lettuce and a mouse trap. And then no, but I think Emily at the end when she says, "Oh, what? You're going to a raccoon's wedding next or something?" Yes. It's like, you knew Emily was going to deliver the goods. You knew it.
Oh, so good.
So great. So it's a tie.
Long shall we remember Cinnamon.
But I, you know, look, the upshot here is for me, right? Because since I'm experiencing this for the first time, the upshot for me is, you know, we're talking a lot about this, what I consider to be a smarmy private school teacher who's acting in inappropriate and unethical ways. But the thing that we're not mentioning is, and we've alluded to it a little bit, but how sweet this mother-daughter is to take time away from studying for Rory and take time away from her job at the Dragonfly to come over and comfort Babette, throw a party, the community comes together, throws her a party, make her feel good. They're worried about her. You know, it's a big deal. The mother doesn't understand. That's exactly what Lorelai needed to get away from so that she could live a real life and really love people and know what real community was and know what real love outside of the country club was.
Yes.
And outside of, you know, a status-driven life and out of all of that stuff that makes people incredibly nasty. And not inclusive. So she wanted to be in a place that was real. And yeah, she might, you know, have brought with her the DNA and some of the condescension and the quippy lines and the, you know, looking down her nose at certain people. But I think she genuinely loves being there and she loves the people. Mm-hmm. And that's how she wants to raise her daughter. That's why I think Cinnamon's Wake was so powerful for me. Because look at this. Everybody wants to live in a town like that. A lot of people do live in towns like that. Whereas if somebody's cat dies and it's like, it's an event and you want to go comfort that person. And what a beautiful testament to those characters that they took the time to be there for each other. Whether there's little conflicts here and there, I think the Max Medina thing is like, that's an outlier. That is just like, that's Darth Vader coming in into a little, little nice little village and he's going to blow it all up. It's like, you got to defend the good versus the evil. But, you know, very, very charming episode. I mean, very, very touching. And I think, for me, acting wise, Sally Struthers stole the show. Mm-hmm. She moved me so deeply. You could really feel the loss.
Yeah.
And her trying to overcome it and giving that motherly advice to Lorelai to, you know, don't, you know, maybe Darth Vader isn't such a bad idea. You know, dating Darth Vader's got a bad idea. I apologize to George Lucas. But anyway, that's the takeaway for me. Also, you know, just how sweet Rory is. God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, just such a vulnerable, sweet, yet, you know, kind of, you know, she's a little bit tough underneath, you know, mm-hmm. don't mess with her.
And now we are going to get to see everything happen
right,
with Dean.
But she's not going to lose who she is at her core, which is this sweet, trusting girl. In order, you know, to get through life, she's maybe the one that's going to stick to her real small town core values, because she's got the Emily DNA, obviously. Right. And she has that, but it hasn't corrupted her. And it probably won't, but a very sweet character. I really think that the Rory Gilmore is the heart of this show. I don't think it's the relationship between Lauren and Kelly. I think it's really just about Rory and her relationship with her mother. And she's got to deflect all this crazy stuff happening in her life because these people are so toxic and they're so narcissistic. And sometimes they can be really selfish. On the other hand, because they're human, they can be, you know, they have their flaws, but they're also, everybody's doing the best they can and they're making some mistakes, and that's life. So anyway, I'm really hooked on the show. I really love this show. I really do. It's toying with my emotions.
Yeah.
It's really putting me on a roller coaster. So
well, buckle up, because I think next week is Rory's birthday party.
Oh,
and I feel like, whoa, something's big.
Yeah. I can't wait. It's just such a wow. I mean, it was midnight. I had to go to bed. I wanted to watch it again.
I know. I have to force myself to not watch.
Right. Me too. Listen, I released a single. You can get it on all the major platforms, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, what have you, called Surrender. We released it last week, so go check it out. It's a love song about the one that got away. Anyway, that's a wrap. Episode 5, Cinnamon's Wake. Love this episode. Can't wait to see the next one. Ted Rooney was great. Great seeing you guys. And just, we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com, ScottyP.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. visit RiteRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.